Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Bells tolling in church towers across Rome and at St. Peter's Square after the announcement that Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. ABC's Terry Moran has more.
The world is mourning the loss of Pope Francis.
Fratelli e sorelle, con profondo dolore.
The Vatican making the announcement that the leader of the 1.3 billion Catholics around the world had passed away at the age of 88. The Pontiff was hospitalized recently for pneumonia. The Vatican later revealed that his condition had worsened and that he was being treated for bilateral pneumonia.
After a brief period during which the Pope will be buried, cardinals from around the world will gather for the conclave where they will choose the next Pope.
This is the most important thing that they do. So many cardinals are bishops and archbishops and run dioceses, but once you become a cardinal, your main role is not only to advise the Pope, but to elect the next one.
Father James Martin, this is ABC News. The Trump administration calling on the Supreme Court to change its mind after justices temporarily blocked the deportation of more migrants under the Wartime Act the White House has been using. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more.
A legal standoff between the Supreme Court and the White House. The Trump administration is asking the court to reverse an order issued just after midnight Saturday that blocked the deportation of Venezuelan migrants accused of gang ties. The migrants held in Texas were targeted for deportation under the Alien Enemies Act, a wartime law from 1798 that grants broad deportation powers. Only two justices dissented, Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, who said the late-night ruling was neither necessary or appropriate.
The other seven justices, however, ruling the standard may not have been met for non-citizens to be given a reasonable amount of time to challenge their removal before being deported from the United States. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to?
Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers clobber the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a season-high 16 hits on the way to a 14-1 win over the A's. Milwaukee stole 9 bases in the game, 6 of them in just one inning, both franchise records. The Brewers' Sal Frelick.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that every team and every catcher thinks that, like, whether we're stealing or not, just being at first base or second base, the pitcher and catcher thinking about you is a success.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think that's one of the ways we win. You know, we win by collecting hits, taking walks, stealing bases, having the threat to steal, which gives you a better pitch to hit sometimes. And that's one of the ways we can beat you.
The Crew in San Fran tonight against the Giants. NBA, Bucks getting ready for game 2 tomorrow night after losing 117-98 Saturday to the Pacers.
I think we were late. We didn't have enough urgency. Going to game 2, hopefully we can improve that or we can change that. We'll see. But going to game 2, we're going to be better.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new Star Wars film officially has a title, and it's called Star Wars Starfighter. The film's lead actor will be Ryan Gosling, and it will be directed by Sean Levy, whose previous credits include, well, pretty much everything. Levy has directed the recent smash Deadpool and Wolverine, all three Night at the Museum films, and executive produced Stranger Things. Gosling's last big film was The Fall Guy, so I'm sure he's eager to wash that taste out of his mouth. Star Wars Starfighter hits theaters May 28th of 2027. There is something about podcasts that seems to help celebrities open up. Emilio Estevez recently appeared on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, Host Josh Horowitz asked The Outsiders actor what the worst note he ever got from a director was. Estevez says on the set of St. Elmo's Fire, director Joel Schumacher screamed at the top of his lungs, "Have a good bleeping time." Estevez says Schumacher was a bully and wildly insecure. He also made a very mediocre Batman movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. Gradual clearing and the wind will gradually die down here by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 50s today. Tonight, mostly clear this evening with clouds increasing after midnight, our low 34. Tomorrow, a few sprinkles, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend news. And Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Monday morning, April 21st. We'll be talking a little later this hour with author Laura Bird. We'll be talking about National Independent Bookstore Day and the ways that you can support those independent bookstores in your community and the good things that they do, not just for the economy, but for the community at large. Greg Bach is here from Radio Park. Selena Heller is here from Eau Claire. Up North News reporter Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us from up onto range, to Iron Range there. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us from up north to tell us more about this big old system of rain that's just sitting, spinning around us. Looks like a little wintry mix in there in places as well, Brittany. So how long does this sit around and then what?
And then what, right? Oh, yeah. Gosh. So this low pressure system is sitting right over Wausau right now, and it has split the state in half. If you're up north, you're feeling pretty chilly. If you're down south, you're nice and mild. Temperatures are at 32 degrees in Superior. They're at 60 degrees right now in Kenosha. So 30 degree difference. Wild. We've got flurries and a wintry mix flying north of Eau Claire, north of Wausau. That'll continue for the next few hours. You could pick up a trace, a wet slushy trace or so, but otherwise it's a windy day with this low pressure system right here. We've got winds up north out of the northeast, and if you're down south, they're out of the southeast. They are sustained up to 25 miles per hour, and they're gusting up to 40. So still very, very windy throughout the day today. High temperatures will be in the low to mid 50s, kind of sliding south and then peeking into the Fox Valley today. But up north, we're going to be into those low to mid 30s and kind of hanging out into the 40s for central Wisconsin today. It will be mostly cloudy with some spots of sun later on as the sun sets. We do have a cold night ahead of us, and then more rain moves across the state tomorrow as another low pressure heads our way. While we've got the draft going on in Green Bay, we've got all these scattered showers throughout the week before we clear things out for this weekend. So a wild week ahead, go figure.
So it might be a little wet to start the draft, but maybe better near the end of it?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. That's what we're looking at.
All right. Hey, before we get to Robin Tigerton, I want to say good morning to Jordan Anderson, who's writing in a good morning to everyone on Facebook. I don't think Jordan's popped in during the show.
Hey, thank Jordan.
You. Yeah, we get notes from him every so often. Nice to have you along there, Jordan. Thank you. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy, light rain, 39 degrees. We picked up half an inch of rain overnight. My thoughts and prayers on the passing of Pope Francis, he writes. Also, Saturday night, I got my advanced storm spotter certificate. There are two categories of storm spotters, standard and advanced, and I got both of them. Way to go, Rob. Mm-hmm. Overachiever. He says, I spent Easter Sunday at my sister Debbie's house with her family. My two grandnephews, Marshall and Winston, sat on my lap and listened to train videos on my phone. He says, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree that we played in our last segment was a very popular song during the times when his grandma Lehman passed away on May 1st, 1973. But finally, he says, I hope my five favorite Monday morning people had an excellent Easter.
Thanks, Rob. Right
thanks,
back
Rob.
At you.
You did.
I know. So, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. Appreciate
thank
it. We'll
you.
Talk to you a little later on. All right. Also, we've got to remind you that you can sign up for our daily newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner up at the top of the homepage there, and you'll see the weekday edition that Christina Lori puts together. And today, it gets into the notion that this is Earth Week and that Earth Day is here as well. And, you know, the need to take care of things like our national parks and our public land. Public lands are in more danger than ever. With this new administration, it's not just the land. We didn't really even get into this last week that President Trump has opened up a broad swath of the Pacific Ocean near the U.S. into commercial fishing, something that has species that should be protected and instead are going to be caught up in commercial nets and all of that. So again, learn more about caring for our national parks and public lands in our newsletter. This seems like a no-brainer. Take care of public lands and public forests. Take care of the oceans. What would be another one? Medical research. Kristen.
Earth Day started here. Gaylord Nelson.
That's
Wisconsin
right.
is the home. This is yeah. our thing.
Yes. And we should be embracing it. Again, simple concept. Take care of the planet. Leave it in better shape than you found it. Mm-hmm. Or at least don't screw it up, for the next generation. But getting back to the medical research end of it, it's what Selena's sharing with us today. Again, for all the people that you talk to, all the people that you hear from in this day and age. And again, to borrow from Mr. Bach and Ms. Matinair, this shouldn't be a thing. Here's what shouldn't be a thing. We're cutting cancer research. I believe Tony had something along those lines. There it is from YouTube. I am so tired of these cancer patients mooching off everyone. Sarcasm, It was something Dave Obey always said as a congressman. As he said, nobody had ever come up to him and said, Congressman, when are you going to cut that cancer research? It's such a waste. Said nobody ever, Selena. And yet that is exactly the thing people have to defend now.
Oh my goodness, that is what's happening. The National Institutes of Health, the world's largest public funder of biomedical research, has suspended funding to a lot of trials, and that's taking away research grants and stopping more than 100 of those clinical trials, and that's it's damage to ongoing research to develop cures and things for cancer research, like we said. Alzheimer's disease, ALS, diabetes, opioid abuse, genetic diseases, other rare diseases. And this is funding that was approved by Congress. And so it's billions of dollars. It's just being stopped, all of these things.
So who did you hear from and who are we going to hear from here in talking about the value of cancer research?
Teresa Creasy. She is from Aliva, and she she's in stage 4 lung cancer, which has spread or metastasized to her bones and in her brain. And she has been gone through chemo and immunotherapies, but in her brain, the cancer has continued to grow. So she went to clinical trials for a couple of years instead. And so she is worried about all of that stopping. So this is Teresa.
And in that 2 years, it has kept me alive, able to live my life with a much better quality of life than the chemo and immunotherapies. It has decreased the metastases in my brain and kept the rest of my cancer stable for 2 years. When I was diagnosed nearly 3 years ago, I was given 2 years to live. Cancer research is real. Clinical trials are real. Cancer is one of the biggest killers of Americans out there. If you drop the clinical trials, cancer research, and it's not just cancer research, it's medical research of every kind, diabetes, everything. If you drop that, people are going to die. What I see happening here is not just racial cleansing, but a cleansing of all people. They don't want the sick and weak. They don't want to have to deal with that. They don't want to pay for that.
What was the context of that, Selena? Where was she speaking?
So she was speaking at one of these events, like kind of a town hall.
Okay.
And so that was, she was one of the speakers who just kind of came to say her piece and what was on her mind. And so she told her story. I talked to her afterwards too. She said she feels now better now than she ever did after this clinical trial. So hopefully she continues to do well.
It feels weird to call these things, you know, protests or demonstrations. I guess alternative town halls would be another way, Kristen, to describe them, where people are coming together not just in opposition to something or to a person, but to realize that they all stand together for the things that contribute to a healthy society, things you didn't think you'd have to defend. We didn't think we'd have to defend, you know, free and fair elections. I didn't think we'd have to defend cancer research, but people are at least now standing up and speaking out for these things.
We saw this a couple weeks ago in Shawano, where people were just sharing their concerns, and then others in the audience were saying, well, wait, I can connect you with this person or this organization to help solve your problem, and we can work together. And it's a really beautiful thing that we're starting to see. But I want to go back to Teresa, and I just really want to think about the words she was saying. Think about how she's here, and she's had all of this extra time with the people she loves who depend on her because of this research. My mom died of brain cancer nearly 30 years ago, and none of this was available. There was no immunotherapy. It was chemo and surgery and radiation, and she didn't have a great outcome, but things have changed so much since then. And it's because of this NIH-funded research, and those funds are not easy to get, believe me. But we're taking all of this away, and we're leaving all of these researchers in the lurch. And as a result, people's lives are changed, they're harmed, their families are suffering, and their communities are suffering.
What I think of is Sherry's residency, her medical residency at the University of Minnesota. And her very first rotation was GYN oncology. Mm. And your first rotation, you know, when you start residency, it's hell to begin with. Now started on that one, where women who look just like Kristen and Selena, these people who are young and vibrant, they are moms, and they were getting cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, things like that, and just dying. Mm-hmm. And that was now 30 years ago, just over 30 years ago. And Kristen, you can attest, in 30 years, the difference in survival rates for those kinds of cancers has been, again, there's a ways to go, but the progress has just, it you almost want to weep for those who didn't get to benefit from it.
And it's one thing to talk about it on this level, on this big macro level, but when it's actually happening to you in your family, and you're looking for answers, and you know that the answers are there, and now the rug is getting pulled out from underneath these families and these individuals, it's unconscionable.
Yeah. Selena, thank you for that story. Appreciate it very much. You want to hang around and tell us about your Easter, or do you got to run off?
I can hang around.
All right. Look. Hey, look, Pat took hostages. Kristen and Selena are going to talk about their Easter weekend. We're going to get into a little bit of sports as well. We'll talk about the Brewers, how they did against the West Sacramento Athletics, and the Bucks. We don't want to talk about how they did opening their playoffs, but we got to, and we'll do that right after this on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no-excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Yes, Weird Al is in the history books. It was 44 years ago today that Weird Al Yankovic made his TV debut playing the Queen parody Another One Rides the Bus on The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. Who all here still remembers The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Boomer. Anyway.
Oh, God, let it go.
So there you go. The Weird Al made it to today's history lesson. Selena, what did you get to do over the Easter holiday?
Oh, had the, you know, family dinner, of course, with the ham and mashed potatoes and gravy. I'm known for eating all of the mashed potatoes and gravy. Wow. So that's the truth.
What a reputation.
That's the thing. We went to see the Easter Bunny at the mall last week. And so this is our annual thing. We go to get a picture with the Easter Bunny. Last year, the Easter Bunny, after we got our picture taken, said, turns, you know, the Easter Bunny doesn't speak generally ever.
Not supposed to, so. Yeah. It's a law of the mascots, you know, right, Kristen?
Yeah. Okay. On our way there last week, Emery said, remember when he talked last year? And I was like, oh, no, he did, because when we were leaving, he said, are you Selena Heller? Emery was like, what?
Do no, I need to call security?
Oh, boy.
Suddenly you got real famous to Emery. Yeah. She's like, she's just my mom, but wow.
The Easter Bunny knows your name. Oh, my gosh.
Of course, I've right away moved to Selena Heller's going through swiping on these dating apps, and up comes the Easter Bunny on her screen, like, I'm going to swipe that way on this
That's
guy.
That's not where I went with that.
Yeah. Yeah, me either. No, not at all. But so she was waiting this time. She was just like, Is he going to say something? And he did. He didn't this year. So he was still silent. But she was really that. She remembered that from last year. And she's been thinking about that. So that was kind of funny to listen to her on the way there.
I'm a little surprised that Emery wasn't like, hey, Easter Bunny, do you remember my mom, Selena Heller? I'm sure you do.
Well, you know, Easter has evolved into like a second Christmas for a lot of people now, because it's not just like chocolates and bunnies and jelly beans in your Easter basket. You have like clothes and I don't know.
Gifts. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Trust me, especially when you get grandkids too. It's like, okay, so the grandsons all got different kinds of T-shirts. Like the one got a Minecraft T-shirt, you know, with Steve's Lava Chicken. on it, of course. And the other one is a gym rat, so there was, you know, kind of a gym theme to it as well. And then there's usually little toys. The little ones who are here this weekend got a little Easter bunny squirt gun. Not squirt gun, but they shoot bubbles. You put bubble solution in there. And so, you know, little three-year-old Charlie, she's just running around shooting everybody with bubbles. All the little soap bubbles are everywhere. So,
oh my
yeah.
God, it's a big bubble gun. Yes, that's fun. So and there's even requests. So in the store, when we were at the store, she wanted all this, you know, these things. And I said, well, the Easter bunny's coming, so hold off. So she's like in the store, Easter bunny, can you bring me? I'm like, oh my heavens.
What did she say? Well, saying it out loud, like the way your phone hears you, and suddenly you start to see ads for all the things you were just talking about.
As we all know, Christmas, you write a letter to Santa. Easter, you yell in the middle of a mall at the bunny.
Yes, it's tradition. That's exactly how these things
because
work.
Because my mom is Selena Heller.
Oh. That threw me for a loop also. I didn't know what to do with that.
Sherry still laughs about the time that I was in a department store with her. This was right after we met, first Christmas, or maybe the second Christmas, and we're going through Dayton's, somewhere in the Twin Cities. And there were like these advertisements to you know, visit with our talking Christmas tree and tell the Christmas tree what you want for Christmas or whatever. Okay, whatever. So we come down this escalator and there is just like a tree, just a tree right there, any old tree, fake one. And I go, hey, are you the talking Christmas tree? Without missing a beat, a voice from the tree. Why, yes, I am. I fell down. I was so not expecting the tree to talk back to my sarcastic remark. So, to this day, she'll just be like, go see if that tree talks over there. That might be the talking Christmas tree.
That's a whole thing in eastern Wisconsin. Bruce the Spruce was that, I think, Gimbel's. Oh, yeah. We would go visit with Bruce the Spruce, and there was a person in there who would have a conversation with you, which was delightful. I think they have it in the Neville Museum now, so you can still go there during the holidays and chat with Bruce the Spruce. Not kidding.
Greg got nothing for this one.
I thought that was normal. I thought everybody had a Bruce the Spruce.
Yeah, I think we did in the mall here. I remember in London Square.
Okay. Kristen, are you a ham dinner person when you do the thing with the family, or...?
Yeah, we're going to do it probably next weekend. But yeah, mm-hmm. we do the whole thing and then we feast. Everybody brings a dish. It's like the meal is the big thing.
Yeah. Nope, Sherry did as well. Yep.
And then Lindsay buys candy because he loves that. So he's 18 now and he buys candy for everybody and he gets such pride in that. And now we started buying candy for the neighbor kids that are little because I think there's that like little child that lives inside of him that he needs to feed. So he doorbell ditched our neighbors some candy over the weekend.
That's fun.
Did you see the post, kind of the comic? It looked like a chocolate bar, but it's wrapped in an IKEA wrapper, and it says IKEA chocolate bunny, flat packaging, and you're supposed to assemble it yourself.
No.
Anyway, we did the ham dinner. The kids got, you know, way more candy than you know they'd want. I made hot beefs yesterday. So, I mean, we all ate good over the weekend. And you're right, Celine, it's such a difference from, it's almost Christmas-like, whereas, again, back in our day, it was, you know, mom hid a couple of hard-boiled eggs. We didn't like hard-boiled eggs at the time. We were just these picky eaters. We just wanted our chocolate bunnies. And it was like, nope, you couldn't get your chocolate bunny till after you ate one of your hard-boiled Easter eggs. It was just like, so different now. These kids, they have no idea how lucky they have it.
Okay, yep. Boomer.
There you go. That's just what we went. Selena, thank you for that story. Kristen, for Bruce the Spruce.
I
didn't know where we were going here, and I'll tell you what, high risk, high reward. We got the reward this time around, you guys. Kristen, have a great week. Hey, can we see you on Friday with the newly expanded show?
Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday with Maggie Dawn. We're starting a new segment. It has to do with broads.
All right. Okay. Big changes this week. Thank you, Selena. Have a great day. We'll talk to you, Laura Bird, about Independent Bookstore Day coming up right after this. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The latest milk production report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture comes out on Tuesday, and the avian flu or the H5N1 virus circulating in dairy cattle is still a part of the milk production conversation. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Monday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll talk about it next.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
One of the symptoms of the H5N1 virus in dairy cows is that milk production is limited. Everegg dairy broker Cody Koster says he continues to keep in touch with veterinarians on how the virus is moving.
And then I've talked to a few veterinarians that I know throughout the country and just said, hey, it was the same time last year where the original bird flu came in. Are you seeing anything different? So far, all of them have said, no, we haven't seen anything different. They're really nervous that it can have a different variant. So just like the flu every year has a different variant to it, it attacks the immune system differently. They said it's the same thing with the avian bird flu. Until we get a new round or a new strand, we don't know what that is truly going to look like. We just have to sit and wait, has been their comment to me.
Cody Koster, along with us, he's a dairy broker and analyst with Everegg with an update on the H5N1 virus circulating in dairy cows. I've got details on the stories you liked the most from last week coming up.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The Midwest Farm Report team is dedicated to keeping you up to date on all things Wisconsin agriculture, and we're paying attention to the stories you're drawn to. Here's the top three stories from last week. At number three, you were listening to a three-part series on animal welfare strategies on the dairy farm, such as creating grooves in the floor to prevent cows from slipping. The second most listened to story was another episode in that series about giving cows a pedicure, otherwise known as hoof trimming. And the top story from last week was an update on the highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle from state veterinarian Dr. Heather Roney. Find these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at CivicMedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. Gradual clearing, and the wind will gradually die down here by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 50s today. Tonight, mostly clear this evening with clouds increasing after midnight, or low 34. Tomorrow, a few sprinkles, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm dedicating this episode to you, the listeners. Your voices matter, and I want to hear how significantly we influence your lives.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow.
got Laura Bird standing by right after we check a little bit of sports here. Coming up on 7:35, Rhys Hoskins went 3-for-5 with a homer, 4 RBIs. The Brewers had a franchise record 9 stolen bases. And pitcher Logan Henderson recorded 9 strikeouts in his Major League debut as the Brewers jumped all over the Athletics 14-1 yesterday. The Brewers finished the homestand 4-2. They're now on their season-long 10-game road trip. So 11 days, 10 games, 3 cities, the first of 4 in San Francisco starting tonight. So you got West Coast baseball for the next 3 nights. If you're a night owl, coverage begins at 8:10 on Civic Media stations in Hayward, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Richland Center. The Milwaukee Bucks were blown out by the Pacers in Game 1 of their playoff series in Indianapolis over the weekend. Game 2 is tomorrow in Indy, where, again, they'll try to get back on track. For one game does not a series make. Just ask the LA Lakers, who everybody's been predicting to win it all. They got blown out by the lowly Minnesota Timberwolves in their first game on Saturday. So we got a long way to go. The hockey playoffs began over the weekend as well. So what, just about 2 months of postseason in the NBA and the NHL to tell you all about. All right, let's talk with Laura Bird, author and friend of the show here, about Independent Bookstore Week is coming up this week, Independent Bookstore Day, I guess I should say. And Laura joins us on the phone. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. So nice to have you here. And to give us some context about these independent bookstores and, you know, ways that we can support them. They're not everywhere, of course. I mean, we're in an age now where everything seems to have become a chain. And, you know, for the longest time, it felt like everything was a Borders or a Barnes & Noble or, you know, some other big retail shop. So tell us a bit more about, well, let's start with what exactly is an independent bookseller.
Sure. Well, they're so important, and I'm so happy to be able to talk about them today. So an independent bookstore is obviously independently owned, and it's not part of a larger chain such as Barnes & Noble, like you mentioned. And most independent bookstores typically consist of just a single store, but some do have several locations. Like if you've ever been to Barbara's Books in Chicago, they have a shop at O'Hare Airport. That's an example. There's also Powell's out in Portland. So for most of the 20th century, bookstores in the U.S. were independent. But then as suburban shopping malls became increasingly popular in the 60s, so too did those mall-based bookstore chains, like you mentioned, like Borders, Walden Books, and B. Dalton. Then in 94, a certain gigantic online retailer was formed. And I don't even need to say their name. We know who they are. And if you remember, Pat, that online retailer only sold books for like the first 4 or 5 years in existence. So by 99, they started adding in other product lines. But in 2000, by 2000, the number of indie bookstores had dropped in our country by 43%, if you can believe that. So they were really impacted by that large online retailer, as were the big box stores that you mentioned. And Walden Books, B. Dalton, and Borders were all closed for good by 2011. It's pretty stark, I think. But on a positive note, I think the fall of those larger retailers has left room for the return of more independent bookstores. And I found a great statistic that said that the number of indie bookstores in the U.S. has actually grown since 2009 by about 150%. There are about 4,000 independent bookstores in the country now. So that's kind of the history. I would say that, if you don't buy your books from a certain online retailer, that online retailer is going to be just fine. But if you don't buy books from your local independent bookshop, they are not going to be fine. So I think people can make very thoughtful choices about where they choose to buy their books.
Boy, you did trigger some memories there as a kid who could not get enough out of books to go into B. Dalton and then later Walden Books. Oh, I mean, that was like such a treat. But then they grew into these behemoths, all of them owned by Tom Hanks, and they put all the small stores, all of them owned by Meg Ryan, out of business. They they made a movie out of it. You've got mail. And now things have shaken out since then. So tell us a bit about why independent bookshops are so important, because it's not just any old small business. It's just an economic reason why they're so important.
Right. I'm so glad you asked me that question. So I have my top six reasons why they're so important. Number one, if you're an avid reader like me, you know that booksellers, like the real live human being people who work there, they are not an algorithm. They know their stuff. And their job is to connect you with the perfect book for you, not colonize the moon. So they are great at like answering your questions. They know, like, they're experts in their field, right? So they know what's new, what's trending, but then they also know obscure titles and backlist books. So you can like engage them in conversation about anything and they'll be able to help you, right? And you don't get that from when you shop online. Number two, the ambiance, right? I want you to think of your favorite independent bookshop. You walk in and there's like such a great atmosphere there, whether it's trendy or modern or cozy. I think like scrolling through a website is not the same as walking through a darling little bookstore, sipping on a coffee, chatting with other customers, and most importantly, picking up those titles that catch your eye, right? I don't think there's a substitute for that. Shall I continue to number three? Number three.
Absolutely, he said, unmuting his microphone. Yeah. Yes, by all means.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Okay, so number three, and this one is really important, and I don't think people think this through. Your local bookstore curates its inventory to serve your own community. And what I mean is, like, if you're at a Barnes & Noble in Alaska, for example, it's going to look a lot the same as a Barnes & Noble in Wisconsin or in Florida. I would say, you know, the displays and the books available are basically the same, but that's not the case at your local independent bookshop. They actually curate their inventory to ensure that what they have is satisfying our needs. So I think of Lake City Books, for example, in Madison, which is one of my favorite bookstores. They have an incredible Wisconsin authors table. You can find so many books, including my own, on that table. They also have great cookbooks specific to Wisconsin and the Midwest. Another shop in Madison, which is my favorite, is Mystery to Me, and they carry Wisconsin hiking books. So these are titles that you won't necessarily be able to find, you know, at other bookshops. All right, let's talk the economy. Number four, local independent bookshops support the local economy. So I did some research, and for every dollar spent at a small business in the U.S., about 67 cents stays in the local community versus only about 45 cents when shopping at a big box store, such as Barnes & Noble. If you purchase through a large online retailer, that returns basically $0 to the local economy. I would also like to point out that large online retailers are not supporting like Little Betsy's baseball team or contributing to the local fundraisers like your bookshop is. So bookshops give back to our communities, our schools, our nonprofits. Speaking of community, number five, bookshops promote community engagement. You know, they host events for authors and book clubs and story time, and they foster such a strong sense of place and belonging. I think they're safe, nurturing places to hang out with super cool people, right? And last but not least, number six, by shopping at your local independent bookshop, you're helping the environment because, in general, you're reducing your carbon footprint when you shop in store rather than having your books shipped to you. So those are my six reasons, and there are so many more.
I was going to say I'm sure there's more, but that really did cover a lot of them. So talk about Saturday, the last Saturday in April, being Independent Bookstore Day. You know how this got started and what kinds of things folks could expect.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to talk about this. So it's a national one-day party held the last Saturday in April every year, and it celebrates indie bookshops across the country in-store and online if you can't get to one. So this year, as you said, it's Saturday, April 26th, and it's the 12th annual celebration with more than 1,400 bookstores across all 50 states participating. So there was a woman out in California, she's a writer and an editor, and she started it back in 2014. And now it's coordinated, I think she still has some oversight in it, but it's primarily coordinated through the ABA, which is the American Booksellers Association. And the event is for booksellers who belong to the ABA and their regional independent booksellers association. So in our case, Pat, Wisconsin falls under the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. 9 states, more than 300 shops are participating on Saturday. There are so many fun things going on. I mean, in preparation for this conversation with you, I think I had like 10 pages of notes of what bookstores were doing. But in general, I would say look up your local independent bookshop if you live close to one, you know, on Facebook, or go to their website and you can see specifically what they're doing. I would say in general, bookshops are offering freebies, special deals, special events, treats, other fun things. So if you need a gift for anyone in your life, or you want a gift for yourself, or there's a book you want to get your hands on, Saturday is the day to shop.
And what is this golden ticket Libro.fm thing that you mentioned as well earlier?
Yes. Okay, this is so cool. So I spoke to a lot of bookshops, and I would say most of them, if not all of them, are doing on Saturday what is known as the Golden Ticket Game, sponsored by Libro.fm. If you don't know what Libro.fm is, I'm going to tell you. So you can go to Libro.fm to purchase your audiobooks if you like to listen to your books. But what you can do is you use their store finder to link your sale to a preferred independent bookshop so that that bookshop shares in the profit from your order. So Libro.fm is hosting this golden ticket game, and this is so fun. So participating bookstores are getting this golden ticket. It's about 9 by 3 inches. So it's pretty noticeable, right? It's very like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Do you remember that? Like the golden tickets in the chocolate bars?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But in this case, the golden tickets are going to be hidden in a bookstore. So there's going to be one ticket in each bookstore that's participating. And if you find that golden ticket on Saturday, you win 12 audiobook credits from Libro.fm. So like you win like a year's supply of audiobooks. No purchase is necessary.
Wow.
Like how cool is that?
Yeah. I was looking at the Libro.fm Facebook page. They, of course, are playing this up as well. And but before they start celebrating the independent bookstores, they were marking National Library Week. And they have a post here that, you know, thanks to, you know, all of their members, they raised $55,000 in support of National Library Week. So definitely a group that's dedicated toward, you know, celebrating reading and shops and libraries and more.
Absolutely. And again, I love to see that community connection, right? They're giving back. They're supporting libraries. I think that's so important. They want to promote literacy. They want to celebrate readers. It's a win-win for everybody.
How would folks best go about learning about the independent booksellers that they may not know about, but, you know, if not in their community, maybe in a nearby community? Is there any particularly easy way to go about doing that?
Yeah, you know, I wish I was on camera right now because I would hold up to you. I have the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association that I mentioned, MIBA. They, every year in celebration of Indie Bookshop Day, they put together this Indie Bookstore Roadmap, and it is so cool. And I think if you went to their website, you could probably figure out where to get one if you don't live close to a shop. Otherwise, your local shop will have them this week and on Saturday. And it's a map of the Midwest region with all the states. And there is a hand-drawn illustration of each and every bookshop that's participating. So you open up this map, and it's gorgeous because you can like see visually where all the bookshops are.
I've got it right in front of me here, Laura. Let me give the web address before we run out of time here. It is midwestbooksellers.org, midwestbooksellers.org. Laura, thank you for all the updates on this. I really appreciate it. Great to hear from you again.
Thanks, Pat. It's great to talk with you. Talk to you soon.
Okay. You bet. Take care now. We'll wrap things up with Jane Matinier after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinier on Air.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for if they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water?
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, 5 seconds or so.
Jane says.
Let us check in now with Jane Matinair, who, along with Greg Bach, has Matinair on air 10 to noon today and tomorrow.
Yes.
And then that's it.
That is
I mean, not
it.
That they're going away. That's it for 10 to noon. Then it's a 9 to 11 jam for them.
Following right the newly expanded Pat Kreitlow show.
3 hours of this.
It's going to be great. You're going to be great.
Whatever this is. Thank you very much. Well, I'm looking forward to it in, you know, much the same way you look forward to anything where you haven't completely done everything on your to-do list yet, but I'm sure we'll get there. We'll get there, right?
It's going to be great. You're going to be magnificent.
How was your Easter?
Easter was very nice. Went over to my sister's and lots of food, and we have a couple little ones, 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, with the eggs and the plastic eggs and the searching for eggs in the rain. And then we had the big art board, and so we were spelling words, which was very exciting. And
We didn't do the outdoor Easter egg hunt for the 3-year-old and the 6-year-old, in part because we didn't want to put things out, you know, the night or the evening before or the early morning, because there's been a bear in the neighborhood lately.
Oh, that's right.
And we thought, let's not, you know, attract even more attention to what we've got out there.
Yep.
So there was a lot of indoor hunting around, which was still, it's a lot of fun with the little ones. But I learned an important lesson with small children, and that is, do you remember the game Kerplunk?
Yes.
The one where you, with the tube and the marbles, you put all the sticks in, all the marbles are on top of the sticks, and you pull the sticks out one by one.
Yep.
And then the marbles come out, and you try not to get the marbles to come out. Anyway, Sherry loved that as a kid. And so she had a Kerplunk here. Our daughters, you know, were kind of plus minus on it when they were young. I was plus minus on it. Like, okay. But she loved it. It was her favorite as a kid. We're with the two little ones, and in our living room is one of these really deep pile, you know, shag rugs. It's really soft. It's really nice, but it's deep. And she brings up the Kerplunk game, and she sets it on this ottoman right there. And, of course, the two little ones, they go crazy. They love that the marbles are dropping.
Oh,
They're moving the marbles all over the place. And next thing I know, half the marbles are gone because the carpet is so deep.
Swallowing them.
swallow them up. Yep. So we're like, we're feeling around, trying to find the marble. Okay, there's one, there's one. You know, hours after they left, I'd walk through, I'd step on another
marble. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Oh.
Like Lego residuals.
Oh. It was not quite Lego, but still.
Yeah.
And then one time I stepped and I'm like, oh, found another one. And I reach in and it's like, no. I pulled out a jelly bean. I'm like, oh, this is not good if there's candy in this thing.
Months of discovery in your future.
We're going to have to lift it and shake it or something because somewhere in there still is a peg from a cribbage board.
Oh,
from
man.
A cribbage game one day. So I don't know. We might shake. A house guest might fall out that we completely forgot about. I don't know. But it was nice to have the little ones there. When you said you went to your sister's now, is this a trade-off thing where sometimes you're making and hosting?
We don't host very often anymore, which is fine with me. I love showing up and bringing a dish and, yep. and passing the dish. And then I have no problem helping with the dishes and all of those things. But my sister primarily has kind of taken over the majority of the holidays.
And that's always such a relief. I've got, you know, one of my sisters has laid dibs on one of the family gatherings, and a sister-in-law has claimed dibs on another. It's like that's their holiday.
Nice.
To which we're like, yeah.
You can have it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I can't have Thanksgiving. Oh, what am I ever going to do?
You know, and there are just some people, I think, who really love the whole, they have the matchy-matchy plates and the special plates and the special, you know, table setting. And, yeah, I don't do any of those things. So I'm not like the oh, let's have it at Jane's. Oh, it's going to be on paper plates. But I'll draw on them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that's what dishes. We got to do. Right, exactly. We unofficially have Easter, but and some we got a little bit of family, you know, this past weekend. But I guess we're just far enough away from our families that, you know, you never get everybody under the roof. So every year it's like I feel like they're drawing straws. Like, okay, who's got to go to Pat and Sherry's this year? Who's got to drive to Chippewa Falls? But we got them in there, and, you know, well, Alicia's right on YouTube saying, you know, hosting prep can be exhausting.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It is. We refer to it as C&E, cleaning and entertaining, which often happens on Christmas and Easter.
Yep.
And so we're just like, oh, it's C&E time again. we're off the hook for a little while. Are you... you looking forward to what you got coming up on the show this week in your two different time slots?
Absolutely. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, is going to be joining us today, Mondays, with Mr. Global. He, of course, is an oil and gas industry expert, and he has enough facts and experience and firsthand knowledge to annoy everyone on all sides, which I find a unique and admirable quality.
Oh, and it's what you look for in anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we're going to talk to Versity.
Colleen McCarthy from Versity.
Yep. We're going to be talking to her today about organ donation and just how critically, critically important that is. You want to have that little dot on your driver's license that you are an organ donor. It's a really easy thing to do, and it makes such a difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. And then, of course, on newscasts and other shows throughout the day, I'm sure will be more said about Pope Francis passing away. Obviously, the big news of the day. And
yes.
We're always following breaking news around this place as well. It's in the DNA. So, Jane, thank you.
Oh, yes, you're welcome. Just a suggestion, Pat. Toughen up those grandkids next year. Leave the eggs outside with the bear. See how they do on Easter morning.
Well, that's just it. I'm like, I don't want the bear thinking, oh, look at this Cadbury cream egg. It's got a creamy center. It's a small child. So we tried to avoid that this
year. You're a good grandparent.
I know. I'm doing my best here. Thank you. Have a wonderful day and
a great
week. Greg, thank you for everything. See you in a couple hours on Matt and Air on Air. So, and thanks to all of you for being part of Up North News Radio. Again, today, tomorrow, 6 to 8 a.m., and then starting Wednesday, newly expanded time, 6 to 9 a.m., new name. We'll come up with new other gimmicks and, you know, more guests. It'll be a lot of fun. So hope you stick around for that and the whole new lineup across the Civic Media Radio Network that starts with our show at 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. That'll do it for Monday. Enjoy it. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
April is Global Volunteer Month.
Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The Vatican announcing this morning that Pope Francis has died. He had been hospitalized for more than a month with respiratory issues and was diagnosed with pneumonia. But the Pope was seen just yesterday on Easter Sunday at the balcony of the Vatican. Father John Walk is in Rome with more.
We all watched the Pope give this blessing from the facade, the loggia of St. Peter's Basilica, blessing the city and the world. In a way, it's a very fitting ending. Obviously, the last act of a papacy is a blessing to the entire world.
ABC News contributor Father James Martin says Francis was the world's first pope from Latin America and routinely met with the poor, with refugees, and with those in war zones.
I just thought he was it was like being with the best parish priest you could imagine. I mean, just warm and funny and inviting and relaxed.
After the pope is buried, the conclave of cardinals will decide on the next pope. This is ABC News.